This is KUOW's The Record. I'm Bill Radke. Welcome. Thank you for tuning in. We're on Twitter at KUOW. Since the mass shooting in Las Vegas, we've been asking, yet again, what should we do about gun violence? Washington State has not banned semi-automatic weapons. We do not limit the amount of ammunition a gun magazine can hold. Our governor is advocating a new gun control measure today. Governor Jay Inslee, welcome to KUOW.
Good afternoon.
The Las Vegas shooter used this device called a bump stock that, in effect, turned his semi-automatic rifles into automatic rifles, into machine guns. And you're calling on the legislature to outlaw these bump stocks. First of all, why are they legal now?
That's a very good question, because this is an obvious loophole in our gun safety laws. And the necessity of having laws that are effective, it ought to be obvious in this case. There is absolutely no reason that this should have been legal for a person to turn what would otherwise be a legal semi-automatic, where a weapon only fires one round every time you squeeze the trigger, to a fully automatic weapon, which is a weapon of war. The only reason for a fully automatic weapon is massacre, and that's what we saw. And we have had some federal laws that have limited access to fully automatic weapons, but this giant loophole essentially allows it right now, legally, for anybody to have access to a fully automatic weapon by the use of these aftermarket products, bump stocks, and there's several other devices that are available as well.
For those listeners who don't know, these devices make the bullets come out faster, but they make the gun much less accurate, so that would seem to limit their use for sport shooting and hunting.
Well, yeah, there's really no purpose other than just spraying for the use of these, just spraying a waterfall of slugs in a large area. That's its only purpose. So massacre is its only reason for existence.
And Governor,
no reason for this.
What other gun regulations are you calling for? The litany is familiar now: semi-automatic rifles, the size of clips of magazines. What are you calling for now on this legislature to do?
Well, I have suggested that we ought to have some ways to save our children from getting access to guns, having a provision that calls for responsible securing your firearm, or things that make sense. But I also want to note that these are not the only things we need to do. Improving our mental health care system is important, and we have many things to do that. Improving our suicide prevention programs are very important. You know, a lot of people don't understand that 2/3 of the deaths by firearm are by suicide. And these firearms are dangerous to ourselves. They're dangerous to their own owners, because the suicide rate is much, much higher for homes that have guns in them. So this is the gun safety issue is not just a matter of dealing with the weapons themselves, but the broader part of helping people to prevent suicides and get to the bottom of this mental health problem. The reason I say that is that I think frequently when we have these tragedies, we have this debate that it's either or, it's and. These solutions to this problem are not mutually exclusive, and we ought to get together eventually in a bipartisan way to adopt the multiple things we needed to reduce this. And this is very personal. A young woman who was in Young Life, my son and daughter-in-law had her in a Young Life program, apparently died in this event. We have a state employee here now who's in a hospital in Las Vegas that you've reported on. This touches everyone, and it's just time for action. And I got to tell you, I revile and rebel at the people who say we just can't talk about these things.
Okay,
Governor. I've heard people say you can't talk about hurricanes, you can't talk about fires, you can't talk about massacres. The can't talk about it crowd is killing us.
Governor,
we've got to talk about these things.
As you say, there are multiple solutions. We moved quickly from talking about gun magazines and rifles to talking about mental health and suicide. And I was talking yesterday on this show to a local gun control advocate who you know, Ralph Fasciatelli of Ceasefire Washington. And he's frustrated. He told me that you have been, he called it, leading from behind. You'll say that you support a weapons ban, but then you'll pivot to other things and not do enough to make it happen. What do you say to that?
I'm not sure what Ralph is referring to, because I have advocated numerous measures that those organizations have supported, so I'm not sure what he's referring to. I am the first governor in the United States, as far as I know, who's advocated banning these bump stocks, which I did yesterday. I have supported for some time gun safety legislation requiring securing weapons. I have been a leader for many years and cast one of the pivotal votes to ban assault weapons when I was in Congress. So I'll hold my record up again to any leader on this regard. So I'll have to talk Ralph and see what he's referring to.
Okay. Regarding your advocacy in Congress, you were a congressman in Eastern Washington. You supported a federal assault weapons ban. You lost your congressional seat, and I at least saw you, you can tell me, I saw you quoted as telling your wife that the assault weapons ban probably cost you your job. How much does that experience still influence you?
Well, it doesn't in some sense. I've never regretted that vote. I think it was the right vote then. I think it's the right vote now. We're still plagued by these terrible massacres that occur. And the existence and accessibility of these now fully automatic weapons even makes it more apparent that we need this type of legislation to protect our families and our kids. But as I said, I've never regretted it. I thought it was the right vote. Yes, it may have been one factor in losing in 1994, but this problem persists, and we've got to do some common sense things to increase safety for our families. So it really hasn't affected my thinking one way or another.
Okay.
It's the right thing to do.
Well, talking with Governor Jay Inslee, talking now about the legislature, it has been the voters who brought us background checks and the extreme protection orders. You can advocate with a judge that someone have a firearm kept from them. These have been ballot initiatives. And again, advocates are frustrated that the legislature hasn't passed these regulations and that, I'll put it to you, you haven't been able to broker such a deal. What political capital can you tell listeners you are spending to get that done?
Well, I'm working to get people in these positions who will support common sense measures. And now this is a nonpartisan call, but there's an election in the 45th district right now in the state Senate. It will determine what party has the majorities in the entire state legislature, and it's quite an important race. I'm supporting a candidate who is supporting common sense guns measures. Her name is Monica Dhingra, and I'm supporting her because, in part, she has many attributes. One is that she's not afraid to stand up against the gun lobby who has prevented us from passing gun safety legislation. And she's the one candidate in the race who will do that.
And if
so
Democrats,
I'm trying to help people get elected who will help in this common sense effort.
Yes, and that state Senate majority, Republican majority, is tiny. If the Democrats were to take over the majority, what could you promise to get done with Democratic majorities in both chambers?
Well, what I can say is what I have said now for years is that I have supported common sense gun safety measures where there's no argument against it. There ought to be no argument that we ought to allow these fully automatic weapons of war whose only purpose is massacring your fellow citizens. That is the only reason for them to be ever even manufactured. And we're going to make every effort we can to pass legislation that will deal with this. But that's what I can say today, and I'm committed to that.
Do you agree with the Seattle lawmaker, State Senator Jamie Peterson, who called assault weapons ban a semi-automatic rifle ban? He called it a non-starter for now. Is that true?
I don't know the answer to that. I always think that you should skate where the puck's going to go, not where it is right now. And as time goes on, we have been able to make progress in this state. Unfortunately, it's had to go through the initiative route. The legislature ought to be able to accomplish some of these things. I will advocate this. It's difficult to understand why we could not pass a measure that would protect people from these fully automatic weapons, having seen the carnage that this caused. So we will make every effort possible to do that. But we're not done yet.
Governor Jay Inslee, thank you for your time on KUOW today. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much. You bet.
So I've been interviewing supporters this week of new gun regulations, and I'd like to hear from gun owners. Give us a call right now, 206-543-5869. Tell us how you use guns and why and what you're thinking post-mass shootings, 206-543-KUOW. In fact, in the studio with me now is Seattle Times columnist Danny Westneat, who just wrote about wanting to hear more from gun owners. Danny, good to see you again. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
First of all, any reaction to Governor Inslee's comments on bump stock bans and rifles and magazines?
Well, I personally agree with the governor 100% on the positions. I don't agree with him on his political analysis of the legislature. So we had, for example, background checks was tried to push through the legislature in bill form, and the Democrats who controlled the House couldn't even get it out of the House. So this idea that when Democrats take over the legislature that we're going to suddenly have gun control things moving, I think, is a fantasy.
Why do you think Democrats couldn't get it out of the House?
Well, because there's at least at that time, maybe it's changed, there were Democrats who represented rural-ish, suburban-ish districts that are filled with people who don't want that policy, or at least are suspicious of it. I think now that we have background checks, it's a classic gun control issue in that it hasn't turned out to be the nightmare that the gun rights people predicted, but it also hasn't turned out to really help that much as the gun control people were hoping. And so I agree with the governor that this is it isn't an either or thing. It's an and. We are so far, as we just saw in the Las Vegas shooting, we are so far from even getting a handle on military grade weaponry. So the idea of actually changing gun culture in the country to the point where people can still have their Second Amendment rights but aren't, you know, spree shooting, we have a tremendous path to go on that.
Again, I'd like to hear from gun owners right now. Call us at 206-543-5869, 543-KUOW. Danny, in your latest column, you asked responsible gun owners to tell you why bump stocks should be legal and to otherwise speak out. And what did you, first of all, will you explain your premise?
Yeah, so my premise is that, you know, I was looking around honestly at how other columnists were approaching the Las Vegas shooting, it was my same reaction, just weary resignation, you know. And there was even one, the thing that jogged me on this, there was one column where the headline of the column was, "I am so tired of writing this column." And that's how I felt, right? We're paralyzed, completely dysfunctional on doing anything. We're just going to wait for the next massacre. And so it hit me with the fact that the guy was basically using modified machine guns. I know a lot of gun owners. I've, like you, gone shooting at the range with a friend of mine here in Seattle. And, you know, at least the responsible gun owners I know who would never hurt a flea, they think this stuff is insane too. And I've had a number of them say to me over the years, my brother's an avid hunter. He thinks the NRA is crazy and is actually making all gun owners look like nuts. And so he's very anti-NRA.
If that's such a silent majority opinion, we don't know.
Yeah.
I wonder your theory on why responsible gun owners, as you call them, don't speak up more often.
Well, I guess my theory on that would be that there's never really a platform in American politics for moderation, and the pragmatic view of yes, we have a right to bear arms, but no, we don't have a right to bear machine guns or modified machine guns. You know, that no one's giving voice to that. You have the liberals wanting to take away the guns, at least that's the fear. And then you have the NRA saying, you know, we want absolute right to everything. And there hasn't, like with a lot of other issues, there isn't a lot of daylight in the middle. And my feeling is that the solution, no one's going to listen to me or you or probably anyone on this station on their gun control ideas, right? It's going to have to come from gun owners, people. Like, I just got an email from a guy who said, I used to fire on the 21st Army Corps pistol team. I'm a gun owner, military officer, one time a member of the NRA. I want the insanity to stop. There's no logical reason why anyone should have a weapon that has the capability to fire more than one round. So I happen to know other gun owners who would draw the line at 5 rounds mm-hmm. or 10 or whatever, but it seems to me like there's a lot of gun owners out there who also think what's going on in society is insane.
We have a gun owner, in fact, a gun educator on the line right now in Chehalis. JB, you own a gun school, is that right?
Yes, I do. I own Old School Gun School, also known as Northwest Safety First, and we teach firearm law and firearm responsibilities to American citizens.
Do you think those classes ought to be required in Washington State, legally required?
What a good idea. At this point, everything is still optional for a gun owner to attend classes. There's nothing required. However, if you're going to take that responsibility to own the gun, then every gun owner comes with the responsibilities of knowing and understanding the laws surrounding its use.
So you're a gun owner. You interact with the gun owners all the time. What are gun control advocates in liberal Seattle and Puget Sound area? What are they missing about what gun owners want?
Well, I think possibly the missing part of that communication, and it should be communication. Any good communication is a good two-way street where we can listen to each other. And part of it is that everything that they're wishing for, asking for instance, we should make some things illegal. We should ban some of these things. And so it's already illegal to kill people from your hotel room. And so I don't know that making it illegal-er will stop a bad guy from doing bad things.
You mean banning those bump stock type devices?
If he bought an accessory that helped his gun shoot more bullets at one time, and they ban those accessories, anybody with a Dremel tool or a nail file could modify any semi-automatic gun and make it a fully automatic gun. So I don't know that banning a part is going to change anything.
Isn't that harder, though, than going down to Cabela's and... Isn't that harder than going down to Cabela's and buying something?
20 years ago, 168 dead, 680 injured, and it was a rental truck and some fertilizer.
Okay, JB, Danny was asking a question that listeners could hear. Maybe you couldn't. Go ahead, Danny.
So I hear this argument a lot, and I think it's partially true that you can modify your gun in your garage, right? That's what you were just saying. But isn't that harder to do than just going to Cabela's and buying an accessory that turns your gun into a rapid-fire machine?
Sadly, it's not any harder than a YouTube click. And so I don't know. And so the banning of the gear, we should, if we're going to ban things, I don't know that banning things has ever made anybody safer. We banned alcohol, for goodness sakes, in 1919. And it was banned for all those years. And did people quit drinking? Probably not. And so just making it illegal-er will probably not stop those folks that want to do nasty, terrible, awful things.
Well, JB, we do regulate things, whether it's going to produce all the outcomes we want. Why not ban devices that you're saying don't have? We talked about how these bump stocks, they let you spray the bullets, but far less accurately. They don't seem to be any good for target shooting or hunting. Why? So let's say there's another, YouTube has given people a way to around that, but why not at least ban the devices if you don't think they do any productive good?
And so banning the devices, I think, could be a slippery slope. And so I don't know that banning the devices would help us any. Would you agree with me that none of us would be absolutely immune from a violent attack? I think we just proved the point in Las Vegas. And so if we're not immune from the violent attack, then if those that wish to can be armed in such a way, nobody in history since the caveman, nobody has been kept safer by disarming themselves. There's no country that's been made safer by disarmament. There's no society.
Yes, there are.
And so disarming is probably
Australia.
Not the path to safety.
Australia disarmed itself, and it's dramatically safer from gun crime because of it.
Thank goodness we don't live in Australia.
One more question for you, because I want to take other calls too, JB. What's your evidence for the slippery slope argument? I mean, we've seen regulations, they vary from state to state, and there are states that do ban semi-automatic rifles and haven't confiscated everyone's guns. What's your evidence that the slope is so slippery?
We keep talking about protecting people from weapons, and it's not the weapon that's doing the work. It's the person behind it. And so I think we should look to that rather than looking to the tool. We're not protecting ourselves from drunk drivers by banning automobiles. And so I think our focus would be on those folks and not on the tool.
JB and Chehalis, a gun educator there, thanks for calling us today.
You bet. Thanks for having me on.
Taking your call at 206-543-5869 with Seattle Times columnist Danny Westnood, who's written about this today. I'm Bill Radke, and we have Bob in Snohomish. Bob, thanks for calling. What's your stance here?
Like I was telling you before, I own guns, and I like shooting them. They're fun to shoot. We target practice with them, and, it's not like a hunting thing or anything like that. It's just they're fun to shoot. I mean, I think that comes down to what guns really are, is that they're fun to shoot. We keep them in safes, and we keep them locked away and try to be as safe with them as possible. But, I'm shooting a different type of, gun, I guess. We're shooting revolvers and that sort of thing, but I still don't see the point to having some of these high-powered rifles and the quantity of bullets. I mean, I get what the previous caller was saying about, the bump stops and everything and how you could take away parts and it's still the individual, and I understand that. But, YouTube could show you how to build a bomb, but we don't sell bombs. You know, it seems common sense that you don't need that, period. You don't need to be able to bump stop the gun or you know, whatever it is, but to rapid fire this ammunition, as well as these large clip magazines, and now this silencer thing that's trying to go through you know, Congress or whatever it is right now. I mean, that's crazy. I don't understand what the point of that is, and I think it comes down to common sense. What do you really need it for? I don't really understand, that's all.
Now, Bob, is this Bob in Snohomish? Mm-hmm. See, yeah. You, my premise in my column today is that you are the answer to this dysfunction we're having over the whole gun issue. Because, you know, the vast majority, the NRA is correct that the vast majority of gun owners are the, quote, responsible gun owners. It sounds like you are one. They lock up their guns. They do target shooting, et cetera. And I think it's a complete dead end, as we've seen, for the left to try to impinge on any of that. But how is it, from your point of view, that we still have this sort of military, almost military-grade weaponry out there, and the NRA defends it, and they win?
Yeah, I don't really understand that. I don't know where it comes from. I don't know what the obsession is with that type of, you know, those types of weapons are.
Well, it's fun. You said.
Well, I'm sorry. What's that?
It's because it's fun.
Well, yeah, no, and I understand that, but I mean, you can shoot one gun at a time. I mean, you know, that's kind of the way I look at it. So I don't really understand the need to stockpile all this stuff. And I feel like if the government was really out to come and get you, I feel like, I mean, they got tanks. You know, I mean, what are you really going to do with these things? I think we're not, you know, you're not militarized. You're out there to have fun and shoot the guns or whatever it is that you're doing with them. But I just think that to stockpile this many and have, you know, the capabilities that they have, I think is dangerous, real dangerous.
And Bob, are you doing any advocacy? Are you doing anything about this besides calling KOW right now?
Not really, no. Haven't done it. I mean, it's kind of a topic that comes and goes with, you know, what's happening in the media. And I just kind of flipped through the stations and heard it on. And I've spoken about it before with, you know, friends and family, but it's never been anything that we've gone out and done.
Does Las Vegas change anything for you?
You know, sadly, it's kind of just another day that goes by. I mean, it's a tragedy what happened, but it's, I mean, you become so desensitized to it with, you know, Pulse nightclub and Columbine and then and Sandy Hook and all the ones you hear about, and you know, you hear about and that's the ones you hear about, not even the ones that you don't. So it seems like you hear about it and it's shocking at first, but you hear about another one and another and another and another, and it becomes to the point, it comes to the point where it's it's another kind of a day in the life, you know.
Bob in Snohomish, we appreciate your phone call. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Taking the calls of responsible gun owners at 206-543-5869 with Danny Westneat of the Seattle Times. Do you think Las Vegas changes anything?
No. I mean, you've already heard it on Capitol Hill. They're saying, oh, now's not the time to talk about gun control. That's code for we're not going to do anything. So I'm sort of bitter and resigned on the whole issue because I'm a pragmatic dude, and so I figure, you know, let's fix some of this stuff. But if I go back to the killing of the 20 first graders at Sandy Hook, if that wasn't going to jog us, then I don't know why this would. The only thing that's different about this is the sort of quasi-automatic weapon, which hasn't really been used before, and so it's possible there's daylight there, either at the state level, probably not at the federal level, to do something about that. But that's we're nibbling at the edges.
On Facebook, Nellie writes, I grew up with guns in my house. My dad had a couple rifles on a rack in the den, but he kept his pistol in a lockbox. We're from Illinois, where you have to have a firearms owner ID card to legally possess a gun. I was surprised at laws being looser when I moved to Seattle. Danny, based on the resigned reporting that you've been doing on this for years now, what would you recommend gun control advocates do differently from how they have been approaching this?
Well, I mean, if you're in a political movement like gun control, what can you do but keep pushing? And I thought they were smart a couple years ago here to basically do an end around the political system and go straight to the voters? Because you have, we didn't ask Bob from Snohomish, responsible gun owner, what his views were on background checks or the extreme protection orders that we voted on. But they both passed pretty easily, and so you can assume a lot of gun owners voted yes on those. And so I think that the way the political system works we've become so polarized, and the two parties are so polarized that it's become paralyzed. And so I think the gun advocates should keep going to the public, because I do think there are a lot of responsible gun owners who are like, yeah, we support gun control. We don't support gun bans, for example. But I think they're starting to see, and many have seen for quite a long time, that some of this stuff is insane, and it hurts them, right? Because most people like Bob and Snohomish go out and go to the gun range and do some target shooting or whatever, completely harmless activity. They lock up their guns, and then they get pigeonholed as like a whack job, and they don't deserve it. And so that's why I'm appealing to them. They need to start speaking out for some sort of pragmatic solution in the middle.
Let's take one more call from Anthony in Issaquah. Hi, Anthony. What do you want to say?
Yeah, hi there. So I've had guns in my family for my whole life. I'm 41 now, and you know, it's an incredibly complicated and sensitive and emotional issue. You know, I've always felt that responsible people should have a right to have guns, but irresponsible people should not. You know, one thing about the Second Amendment that I feel is it's really unique on the planet. No government in the history of humanity has ever granted such a unique right to its people. And it's really astonishing to think of that concession to the citizenry. But now we have the NRA, which is effectively trying to train an army of zealots to fight the next crusade. And they seem to be really making regular people like me and most people I know who own guns look bad and sound like a bunch of crazy people. Because, like, the easiest example, I think, is the NRA has for years and years and years now been blocking technological advancements and applications in, like, trigger locks that can be sensitive to the individual who owns the gun, so it reduces the ability to steal the gun. Or, for example, in my opinion, the worst tragedy, when a child gets a hand on a parent's gun and accidentally shoots him or herself or a play friend. You know, I have a hard time imagining a bigger tragedy than that, and I frankly think that parent should be locked up for a really long time in a very dark hole. You know, but the conversation is rightly so emotional that it's difficult, I think, to do a fair balance between this incredibly unique law that in many ways sets us against the rest of the world, but is also a very dangerous and a very grave responsibility. And I mean, I think something has to be done, but I don't pretend that, you know, you hear, I've got a lot of friends up here in Seattle. I moved out here from Wyoming. You can imagine there's a different perspective in Wyoming. And, you know, many of my Seattle folks, they think I'm half nuts because I own guns just for that fact. And they don't understand the motivation. They don't understand the rationale. They think the police will be there. I mean, I respect police and what they do. They have an incredibly difficult job, but it's very rarely that the police interdict a crime. They get there afterwards, and they do their best.
Yeah, so your friends think that responsible gun owner is an oxymoron right there. So what are you advocating, Anthony? We've got all this menu of ideas. We've talked about requiring guns in a safe. We've talked about permits that require training. We've talked about banning certain guns and certain magazines. What are you advocating? What's the responsible thing to do?
Well, you know, I think on some level we have to try all of these things and see what the effects are. I mean, the first two words of the Second Amendment are well regulated. And I think that those words matter. You know, things like, especially like your iPhone is 1,000 times more secure than your gun. And so, you know, I think if we can apply the big brains to the challenge of rendering guns essentially ineffective, except to a specific individual under specific circumstances, like, you know, I think if we bend our minds towards this, that we can come up with novel solutions that at least should be tried And if it turns out that, you know, the state that tries it is becomes a tyrannical hellhole, then we back away from it a little bit. You know, I'm in favor of, you know, putting your toe in and see how it works.
Okay.
And I think we have to do that because this is, it's madness. It's madness. Things like Sandy Hook, you know, I think our nation should almost always grieve when they think about Sandy Hook and this Las Vegas thing. Like, it's stupefying.
Anthony,
people, many of whom are friends of mine, just say, no, we cannot do anything because that means the government will oppress us. And I'm like, God, that's crazy. If you take out that position, then it's impossible to get anything done.
Anthony, thanks for the phone call. We really appreciate it.
Thanks. Have a good day.
Okay, Danny, anything else you want to leave us with besides we will report on the tyrannical hellholes as they pop up?
Well, great call from Anthony. I would only say to him there are plenty of armed liberals, as they like to call themselves, in Seattle. I know some myself. And it's just I would only encourage gun owners like Anthony or even people who are more conservative than he is on this issue to reach out to the NRA. And tell them, look, I'm a gun owner, and even I think this stuff is crazy, right? That's the kind of thing that could actually move them. It's not, no one's going to listen to me. So I just appeal to you, if you want to do something about the gun violence, it's up to you.
Okay, Danny, we're done not listening to you now.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Danny Westney, Seattle Times columnist. Thanks for writing about this. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.